Hello, friends, and welcome to the HIMSS podcast. I'm Brad Lindsay, along with Dr. Dan Cole. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Brad. You can just call me Dan, though.
Okay, thank you. I feel like I've been welcomed into the inner sanctum here. Well, folks, thanks for joining us today again. We're talking about hymns, and not just any hymns, hymns that we're going to be hearing here at church very soon, and some hymns that maybe we should know, but maybe they aren't as familiar to us as some of the other hymns that we sing are. Dan, what are we talking about today?
We're going to be talking about a hymn, Built on the Rock, the Church Doth Stand.
That sounds meaty, by the way.
It is. It is a very meaty hymn, and I think a very relevant hymn.
This hymn coming from where, written by who, and for what reason? Those will be our three things that we'll talk about a little bit today. So who wrote this hymn today, Dan?
This is written by Nikolai Frederick Severin Grundtvig.
Which is why I got you to say that name and not myself here. So Grundtvig, born in Denmark, 1783, a significant figure in Danish history. Tell me a little bit about why he's significant.
He's probably best known today, actually, for this particular hymn. And we probably know his counterpart, Kierkegaard, a little bit more.
Yes, we do.
Better known. My knowledge of him really just came from studying this hymn initially.
So we speak about the significance of Grundtvig, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Denmark. He was a person who entered the ministry fairly early on. I know that we've talked about this, but his first ordination sermon, Why Has the Lord's Word Disappeared from His House?
Yeah,
That's a great way to start a ministry, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll definitely win people over to you.
And it did. It won people over to him. In fact, I think his ordination was put off, or his taking of ministry was put off for a year because
yeah,
that's of
correct.
That.
Yep.
So he preaches, he stands firm, and you can see just in the topic of the sermon, the Lord's Word disappearing from his house, you see Grundtvig's passion for the church, passion for the Word of God, and how those two things are inseparable. Talk about that. Talk about the words of this hymn and the scriptural basis of it.
As you've just talked about his life and his ministry, you could probably define that as that he had a prophetic ministry. I mean, he was definitely a reformer, and this hymn in particular, I think, just brings out that element of his character and of his ministry. I think this hymn is probably one of the most important hymns that we don't sing that we should be singing. It was relevant to his cultural climate 150 years ago, and the words and the poetry, the text is still very relevant today. Last week we talked about how music, how you have longevity because of music, but really in hymns the longevity I think lasts because of really great hymn texts, and I think this falls into that category. This hymn, though it's prophetic, it's also catechetical in the sense that one of the questions I think people often ask today, children will ask, well, why do we have to go to church?
We could do church at home, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. So, and that, and with the crisis of delayed maturity in our culture now, it's not just young children asking, but it's actually people, older people asking, why is it important to go to church? And we don't actually address or answer that question necessarily. Sometimes we respond to that question, and we try and make the church become more fun or relevant. And we do that sometimes by creating programs, creating activities. But rather than focusing on the central reason that the church exists, which is to come together as the body of Christ to worship God. And this hymn really, I think, addresses that.
The why of the church and the why it exists. I think Dr. Thomas often says there's one plan. God has one plan, and it's called the church.
That's right.
And it is a temptation for some, even especially in this day and age in which we live, to do things differently, to stay home, to worship God in nature, on the golf course or while fishing. And that's not the plan that God has given to the church and to true Christianity. Christianity cannot be separated from the church. This hymn, as we get into the words of this hymn and the strength of this based upon Scripture, you mentioned it, but again, he was living in a time where the sufficiency of Scripture was being questioned. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound very relevant to today?
Sure.
In the same situation where the church is trying to be separated from the Word of God, and a church that's separated from the foundation of Christ and His Word will be a church that crumbles.
Right.
And we've even seen that around us.
Right.
So the words, again, this hymn reminds me a little bit of some of the more familiar hymns that we sing that will be similar. Samuel Sebastian Wesley and Samuel Stone's The Church is One Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Newton's Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these great hymns that speak of the church, not just the physical building, but the church universal, the church mm-hmm. spiritual, and also marrying of the two. So we think about right. our church as a physical building,
right.
and we love it, but we also love the true church that it represents. So let's go through some of these
sure.
these words. If you would start with the first stanza, what does this say?
Yeah, the first stanza, I'll just read it. Built on the rock, the church doth stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling. Calling the young and old to rest, calling the souls of men distressed, longing for life everlasting. And, you know, this first verse really is a commentary in Luke 20:17, First Peter 2:7, both which are referencing Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Yes. And obviously also pointing to what you just mentioned, Brad, the fact that you know, the world is going to crumble and churches will fall if they're not actually grounded on the Word of God, built on the rock.
Amen. Hebrews 4 also comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, so the true rest that's we have a foretaste of as we gather with the church, when the church is gathered, that, mm-hmm. that foretaste of glory divine, as another hymn puts it, and then the rest that Jesus offers us in himself. Come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's the, mm-hmm. the scriptural root of that first verse. What does the second verse say?
Well, second stanza and the third stanza, too, to some extent, are somewhat interconnected. But they remind us that though their earthly steeples may be crumbling, God's heavenly home is eternal, and actually that our bodies are also those temples of this eternal God. So the verses go, surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling, Acts 7:48. High in the heavens his temple stands, all earthly temples excelling, referencing 2 Corinthians 5:1. Yet he who dwells in heaven above deigns to abide with us in love, making our bodies his temple. Referencing 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Absolutely. And then the words of Paul, come to know you not that you are the temple of God,
mm-hmm.
that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you.
Yeah.
For you the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yeah. An amazing thing.
You know, I'm going to skip for the sake of time, we'll go to the fourth stanza here. And this is a stanza that really answers that question. You know, why do we need to be in church? It goes, yet in this house and earthly frame, Jesus, his children, is blessing. Higher we come to praise his name, faith in our Savior professing. Jesus to us his spirit sent, making with us his covenant, granting his children the kingdom. So it's really this conjunction where it says yet that's really important here. I think Grundtvig is saying here, reminding us that we are called to gather as his living stones to worship. Yesterday, very much by providence, I ran into Elder Norm Kent. I was in the building downstairs, and he introduced me to two pastors who were visiting and wanted to see the sanctuary. One was a pastor from Greenville, Robert McCurley, who, after speaking with him, I went to his website, and he has a really wonderful quote that I think is relevant on a blog that he was writing. It says, the church stands as the central institution in history. It alone remains permanent amid the crumbling kingdoms of this world. Christ promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. The church exists preeminently for the magnifying of the divine majesty and the public worship of the triune God. To that end, the Lord provides a place for his people to assemble. So what you had said earlier about it, you know, and what the hymn says, it's not in earthly temples, but at the same time, it is.
Yes, yes.
So
the words of the psalmist come to mind. those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Mm. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fed and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So that truth mm-hmm. of those that are planted in the church, mm-hmm. physically and obviously spiritually, mm-hmm. the growth, that consistent growth that comes about by that being fed week in and week out yeah. in the church by the Spirit of God, using the Word of God in our life. And again, this yeah. hymn points to that
yeah.
and the power of that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, getting back, we ask the question, why do we need to come to church? It's the wrong question. The question we need to be asking is, what is wrong in my heart that is keeping me from wanting to be in attendance whenever those church doors are open for worship, morning, evening, to be worshiping? John MacArthur's a book called Worship, the Ultimate Priority. Mm-hmm. And he says, namely, when we take our sight off of what he calls the ultimate priority, God-honoring biblical worship, then as this hymn so eloquently states, steeples begin to fall.
Mm. And that's true.
So this hymn is just a great reminder of that. And, the music, we haven't mentioned that, and I'll just briefly reference it. It's in a very kind of stern minor key.
Yes.
And so it definitely has a certain severity, but I would say it's actually an urgency about it.
Built on the rock, the church doth stand. Dan, I'm looking forward to hearing this hymn sung in our church very, very soon.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Hymns Podcast. Look forward to joining you again next time.